Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Jesus repeatedly said, "There is life beyond the grave." Do you believe that? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we soon learn that a part of living is preparing to die. Grant, O God, that through your word today, we may hear what God has to say about that subject. We hear a great deal about it wherever we go, all the way from a denial that there is life after death to some weird teachings that someone has concocted in his or her mind. Today, O God, we pray that we may go to the voice of our Savior and hear him say, "I go to prepare a place for you." Speak to us through that word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men, rise up, O men of God. His kingdom and his kingdom's and his love. Bring in a day of brotherhood and then the night of wrong. Rise up, O men, rise up, O men, the church for you doth wait. Forsake the strain of unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. Lift high the cross of Christ, tread where his feet have trod. As the mother's brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God.
Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians, beginning at verse 21. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I really desire to depart and to be with Christ. That would be far better. But it is also more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you, again your joy in Christ will overflow on account of me." Here is the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ. Since my retirement, people have asked me many different kinds of questions. This is one that I have heard quite often. Which did you prefer, to officiate at a wedding or a funeral? Now, I would like to ask you, how do you think I answered? Probably you would never have believed it, but I said I would far prefer to officiate at a funeral than I would at most weddings. Not all weddings, but most weddings. Weddings, generally speaking, were a lot of fun. And I performed over 1,200 of them, so I had a pretty good taste. Most of them were surrounded with laughter, tremendous food, good music, and a young couple beginning their lives together. It was just fun to be with them. Then you'd say, well, why didn't you appreciate that more than a funeral? You have to remember that a minister is primarily concerned about sharing God's word with his people. And that's why I guess I preferred the funeral. You see, in general, there is so much excitement in a wedding that people's minds are not on the spiritual importance of the hour at all. Rather, they're thinking about how beautiful the bride is, how wonderful the reception is going to be, and how delicious that prime rib will taste. That's as it should be. I'm not criticizing anything. It's a gay time. At a funeral, people are quiet. They have seen life come to an end. They have one question, what now? And they are somewhat receptive because they know that the human being does not have the answer. Only God has the answer to that question. Therefore, the funeral is a marvelous opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who mourn and those who have come to surround the mourners. Today, the last in our series of sermons on basic teachings of the Christian faith, let's look at three questions relating to death. The first one is there a life after death? And if so, number two, what will it be like? And number three, how can I live today with the reality of death? Remember the answers that we're going to get, and I'm sure that most of you have heard them, but we have to reemphasize as we consider these basic teachings of the faith. These answers are biblically based. Is there a life after death? And our Lord Jesus Christ repeatedly said, there is. Now, there's a very common response in our day, and that is, well, I don't know. No one has ever come back to tell us. I am not going to make any great preparations. I'm going to take my chances. I have a feeling that there is a life after death. Today, it's very interesting to observe our funerals. Suddenly, within the denomination where I serve, eulogies have become very, very common. For many years, I never had anybody stand up and give a special eulogy for the friend or the relative. But now, many of the children want to stand up and tell what a great person mother was, and some of the friends want to tell about what a jolly boy Pete was and what fun it was to work with him. You know, you can just about use the appointed time in sitting, watching, listening to eulogies. I sit in the pew now more and listen, and I hear these eulogies that are being given again and again. Sometimes I've been asked to give one of them, and I really don't like it very well because I know that I'm taking away from the time of my brother or a sister who's going to get into that pulpit and who will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But finally, after we've had all the music and all the eulogies, then maybe there can be 5 or even 10 minutes to talk about what God's word has to say regarding death. Consequently, we are becoming illiterate regarding what God does have to say. Listen to Jesus. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And then later on, he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." In other words, what our Lord is saying is that there is life after death that's unknown. "I have gone to prepare a place for you. Come and live with me. Live with me while you're here on this earth, and then live with me for all eternity in heaven." Remember that most popular verse in the New Testament, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In other words, he is saying, yes, there is a life after death, and the way to get there is through faith in me. I don't want anyone to perish. All I want you to do is trust me and know that I will bring you safely home to heaven. Now, there are some of those, of course, who would say, well, the way you get to heaven is by working your way there. You've lived a good life, and now certainly God is going to reward you. Listen to this. "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one should boast." In other words, it's not all of my good brownie points that's going to bring me into the kingdom of heaven, not at all. It is faith in Jesus Christ. Christ has done it all. Christ has suffered and paid the price for the sins of each individual. And if we will trust him, then he takes our sins upon him, forgives us, and we stand before God Almighty as imputed with righteousness, and consequently he receives us into the kingdom. Yes, according to our Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm willing to take my stand with him, even though I can't understand it. According to our Lord Jesus Christ, everything is going to be all right if we trust in him. Let's go on to the second question. What will eternity be like? Well, it is very clear in Scripture that at the time of death, there is a separation. There is a separation of those who trust Christ and those who do not. Those who trust Christ will be with God forever in heaven. Those who do not trust him will be away from God, never to be able to repent. And that's what we call hell. Let's take a look at heaven. If you turn to Revelation, the 7th chapter, verses 9 to 17, you get words like these. "After this I looked, and there was a great multitude so that no one could count them. They came from every nation, every tribe, all peoples and languages. They stood before the throne and in front of the Lamb." In other words, what is the Bible telling us about life after death? That in the heavenly home there is going to be a large crowd. Many will have come to Christ through the years. Stop and think of the preaching that's been done, both at home and far away on the mission field. And as that seed has been sown and people are told what we've just reviewed here, that Christ has died for our sins, then we know that the Holy Spirit will take that word. And there will be faith. And that faith will bring you home. There's no segregation and no class distinction. They will have come from every nation, every tribe. The skins will be of all different colors, if that's the way it's going to be with the new body. There will be the rich and the poor, the educated and the uneducated. Where have they come from? According to the Bible, those who are in heaven have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and they have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. What is the great tribulation? That's the way that the writer of the book of Revelation describes this earth. There are some tribulations here. Oh, sure, there are many wonderful times too. But there are some tribulations. Let your mind go and think of some of your friends and relatives and what they are going through on this very day. Tribulation, to be sure. They have come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. What's that mean? I think John gives us a pretty good understanding of that when he writes in his little letter, 1 John 1:7, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all of our sins." You see, the sins are all taken away. That's how we can be there. What will life be like when we get to heaven? We don't have every detail. We don't know whether we're going to know one another or not. We don't know whether there are going to be coffee parties. These are nice little stories that we hear at the time of the funeral and so forth. And let it be if it brings comfort and peace to anybody. But this we do know. Never again will they hunger. I imagine for the starving peoples of the world, that really must be a tremendous promise. Never again will I go hungry. Never again will I be thirsty. Never again will I weep. God is going to wipe away every tear from my eyes. That's heaven. Oh, what will life be like? Never again will there be those uncomfortable things. We will be his people. God himself will be with us, and he will be our God, and he'll wipe away all those tears from our eyes. There will be no more death. There'll be no more mourning. There'll be no crying or pain, for the order of things have suddenly passed away. Isn't that a marvelous description of the heavenly home? I don't know any more details than that, because as far as I'm able to read my Bible, that's about as far as God has gone in describing it to us. But what a marvelous time to know that, yeah, Jesus said it. There is a life beyond the grave, and this is the way that it's going to be for all of those who trust in him. Well, then you ask the question, with all of this before us, the realities of death, and these promises of God, how can I live with death always before me? Isn't there something about my human nature that causes me to really be afraid? Sure there is. There's something about death that is so final. And we wonder when we get in an automobile, our loved ones will say to us, "Now drive carefully." And maybe they'll remind you of their neighbor who was killed in an accident. You don't only have to drive your own car, you've got to drive somebody else's too. Or when we get a symptom that says that our health is not too good, what do we do? We wonder right away, is this a serious illness? Is it going to take me? And maybe sometimes just indigestion suddenly becomes a heart attack, we think. And we rush off to the emergency room, and that's a wise thing to do. And our good doctors will tell us to do that. But behind all of this, there generally is that time when we are worried, because this may be our dying day. Paul faced that. He said, you know, I'm going to die. The question is, am I going to die now? He says, and that's a passage that I read to you from Philippians, For me to live is Christ, and to die, that's gain. I really much prefer, if I had my way, that I could go and be with the Lord. When Paul wrote these words, you know where he was? He was sitting in a Roman prison. And there was every chance that he was going to die, but before he died, he might have to go through some real suffering. It was a suffering, I think, that he didn't care for too much. And so he said, I just would be happy to go and be with the Lord. But he said, I know that it's more important for you that I stay here. Because as I come and I minister to you, and here you see Paul's confidence in himself, I'm going to share with you anew, again, that great message of the gospel, and more people are going to be converted and strengthened in their faith. Convinced of this, I'm going to stay. So he lived with this understanding. And isn't that the way that a Christian lives? Living is great. When you get right down to it, dying is better. And do we believe that, friend? Do we really believe that? I know that could just be pious talk, couldn't it? But I don't think it is. I have sat around so many of our dear old people, and they have said to me, oh, if I could only go home. I remember one of the last visits I had with my mother. She said, son, will you read that passage of scripture from John 14 that I have read for you here on the broadcast today? And then will you pray? Will you pray that God takes me home? I want to go home and be with him. And her roommate in this nursing home said to her, oh no, don't have him pray that way, you may die. And she looked at her and she said, you can come with me. We'll go together. It'll be a lot better there. The Christian lives with a song in his or her heart, penned by St. Paul to the Corinthian church. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yeah, you bet. There is life after death. Amen.
Oh,
Father, we know that the words that have been spoken here today have found their way into the hospital rooms, into the nursing homes, and into houses and cars where people know that for them death draws near. And if not for them, then for a loved one. And we are filled with thoughts, what will life be like without this loved one around? We get all kinds of answers for that. But we pray, Lord Jesus, that for those where this message has real meaning, you may stand out as the one who has said, I'll come and get you. I've died for you. You're mine. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message give you a strong foundation for the week ahead. As a nonprofit ministry, we are supported by gifts from our listeners. We thank each of you for your prayers and your generous offerings. October is calendar month for Christian Crusaders. We would like to send you a free 2004 calendar featuring nature scenes from across the country with brilliant four-color photos. This calendar highlights an inspiring Bible verse each month. To receive your free calendar, just call our toll-free number at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. We will need your name, mailing address, and the station where you hear Christian Crusaders. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 41 years.